Order the Transportation Committee for this Monday, first. Appreciate everybody being here. Thank you very much. Item number two is approval of the minutes from the March 4th meeting.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Have a motion?
Second.
Second, any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries, minutes are approved. Item three is public comments. If you're here to make a public comment, please come forward. Name and address in 2.5 minutes, please.
Hello again. I'm Ellen Moore. I live on Gunnison Street in Carolina Park. And I was pleased this morning in the planning meeting to hear that it looks like the overcrowding in Carolina Park Elementary School is being addressed. And I think the residents will be appreciative of that. What remains a priority is the safety and infrastructure in Carolina Park, given the growth planned with the affordable housing proposal and other planned growth for the area. You know, regardless of what this town council does, infrastructure does have to be addressed and in place before these units really are put in place and up and running. The community has some additional concerns with the Faison Road property that you approved for 30 affordable housing units in December. So making that 166 affordable housing units, potentially, if all of these go through in the upper Mount Pleasant area of Carolina Park and where the Gregory Ferry homes are. So I think the town council needs to consider what other options might be available throughout Mount Pleasant for these types of developments. I think there's some differing estimations on when the Stockdale traffic circle especially would come on board. So I think that needs to be worked out. I heard from Mr. Morrison the other day that it was 3 to 5 years because of the design is only at 30% and wetlands and contracting. And so it's going to take some time. And that may not coincide with when the affordable housing units would be in place and on board. So it just moves things very quickly. And with the sale of the Faison Road property and that potential development, I think there's a lot of challenge. And we'll ask the town council to take a step back and consider and evaluate all the indicators of growth in our communities. I really believe that you understand your obligation is to the current residents of Mount Pleasant, and we ask for you to do the right thing in the right order and ensure that residents of Carolina Park and Park West and our adjacent communities are ready for the impact of some of these proposals and developments. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for public comment? If not, public comment agenda item will be closed. Thank you very much. Section 4 is budget review for fiscal year 2025. So get out your big notebooks and
yes,
what
sir.
Paper are you going to be starting on?
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Please flip to the EDS tab in your budget. It's page 69. Okay, the budget is requesting no new positions and an overall increase proposed at 1.1%, just over $60,000. Wage plan has been discussed multiple times today, is included in the salary line item. Contractual services on the next page shows a number of priority projects. Number one, the low impact development stormwater analysis. Number two, comprehensive traffic management. We know those have been priorities from a transportation perspective. And also wanted to point out halfway down, number 10 is the Carter Beach Shuttle at $10,000. That's where that money can be found. Back to the total page, page 69. I'll point out the traffic light maintenance, which is the seventh line item down. This is where South Carolina DOT reimburses an amount to the town of Mount Pleasant to maintain traffic lights. Now, it's a capped amount. It was found in the revenues. Marcy went over it this morning. It's $141,000 is what we get in reimbursement. Moving a little further, while the summary page shows the day-to-day operations in engineering and development services, a lot of the story, the action, are found in the capital side of things. First and foremost, if you'll go to page 117, is our comprehensive maintenance plan. So page 117 at the very top, there's the $2 million for pavement preservation. This is $500,000 more than the allocation for the current year. Also in there is $400,000 for sidewalk construction. And then a little further in the CIP, page 131, just below half the page, you'll see transportation with All America Boulevard, our access management, Stockdale project, and continued funding for some of the other projects that are listed on here. Those are our CIP funding amounts. Recall that's a five-year plan, with the first year of that plan being funded in the proposed new budget. In addition, not just on the transportation side, but when it comes to engineering-related projects, the shrimp plant and dock restoration is fully funded, but it comes out of the personnel that support that budget, come out of this this particular budget here.
Where's that again?
The shrimp plant and dock restoration? That's in our CIP, sir. Starting on page 131.
Got it. Got okay.
And so, as I mentioned, not a tremendous amount going on, certainly not really anything new in engineering and development services for the next year. In addition to the wages, most of the story is involved involves capital or capital preservation. So with that, sir, any questions would be happy to answer, or a favorable recommendation, the budget committee would be great.
All right, committee members.
Yes, sir. Yes. The only thing I want to add is we are fast getting to the end of a lot of road projects in this town. And I think it's important for that to be singled out, because a lot of those road projects were needed in order to implement the multifamily moratorium, as well as other requirements to hold off with building. We're fast coming to an end of the projects that had to be done in order to do that. So I want to commend the transportation staff for getting that underway. The only one I don't see listed, but I know we got an extra $6 million from CHATS, and that is the final phase of Billy Swales. And do we have any more information in terms of the Corps of Engineer permit?
We do, and if you wouldn't mind, we'll take that under the project updates.
Good.
Because we have a lot of information on some recent
news. Because we're talking about all the transportation projects in the CIP.
I have a quick question on the pavement preservation. Brad, you know, I've sent you some emails I've gotten from some neighborhoods, like Chelsea Park is one, and some others. So I know there's a scoring system, and it's age and condition and the amount of wear and tear and all that kind of stuff. But inevitably, there's going to be somebody who's not happy because they didn't make their way up the list. Is that in here, the individual ones that we're actually doing, so people can see?
No, sir. That specific information is not in the budget. We do have that information as far as how we program each year. I have this year's information that we can provide the committee and make that available. But it's a decision every year based upon the current grading, as well as we have multi-jurisdictions. So DOT's doing things, the county's doing things on their roads and DOT's roads and our roads. So it kind of comes down to a scheduling issue for us in the end and what's rising to the top. But I'll be happy to provide the list for this year.
Okay. And I know this is not our budget issue and all, but just like yesterday going down Long Point Road to Boone Hall for the Easter service, I mean, that part of Long Point Road is horrendous. Just the potholes and the patches, and that's not our fault. But if there's a way when we're looking that we can speed that along, get that done. I'm just talking about the preserving the pavement that's already there.
Yeah.
We know there's big things in store.
I think Mr. Weiss is wearing out the DOT on that. That phone is ringing.
Good. Thank you. Other questions or comments? Is everybody good? All right. Do we have did we finish the budget things? All right. We have a motion.
Yes, sir. I'll recommend that we request town council to approve the budget for engineering development services.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. That would complete section 4. Section 5 is the traffic calming program recommendation.
Yes, sir. We're going to have Mr. Aton take that one.
I'm assuming none of that is in the budget book, right?
It's a line item in our capital maintenance plan.
Right. Okay.
Get to the right.
What page is that?
The CMP. It's under my recollection is under program development. Let me find the CMP.
Page 117. Yeah. 117.
And Mr. Mayor, you mentioned traffic calming, right, sir?
That was part of it. I was talking about pavement preservation earlier.
Same page, page 117. Pavement preservation is at the top.
Right.
And traffic calming is bundled in the nine line items at the bottom.
Got
that
it.
Section.
Okay. Mr. Aton.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mayor and committee members. Talk about the 2024 traffic calming program recommendations. As you know, this is an annual program. This year we had a total of 14 applications for speed cushions and humps, three of which were successful, and those include Harborgate Shores Boulevard, Kent Street, and Shoal Drive. We are still waiting on the petitions to be returned as part of that process from the community members for both Kent and Shoals. And we've given them, I think, till the end of the month to return those petitioners are on the larger side, so we wanted to provide ample time for them to meet those program requirements. In addition to speed hump and cushions, we have the driver feedback signs, which was a relatively recent addition to the traffic calming program, and we had two applications, both of which qualified, and those were Oak Haven Boulevard and National Drive. Those are those driver feedback signs that you see entering kind of neighborhoods that have a kind of a more neighborhood collector roadway. But both National Drive and Oak Haven met those qualifications. So you'll see at the bottom the breakdown of the costs associated for both those speed humps and the driver feedback signs totaling $68,000. And we're asking for the committee's approval for these to move forward.
Is that on page 117?
Yes, sir.
As far as the funding line item under traffic calming?
Yeah, I see that. I don't see the $68,000.
It's within the $68,000 is within that all of that.
That explains it. Okay. I see the whole traffic calming program.
Yes, and that's for this year. Last year's, I don't have, well, I do, but it's buried in there somewhere. But it's probably a similar amount from last year, and it's funded.
Okay. Are we basically talking about this transportation program development or only traffic calming?
It encompasses many different programs. That's one of them, yes.
Because the question is, I mean, it looks like a good thing, but new signal capital fund, $658,000?
Yes, sir. If we have to, we program that kind of in accordance with where we see growth going and where we might be needing an additional signal that the town would have to fund. Because a mast arm signal is probably in the $300,000 to $400,000 range. So we basically escrow money every year to make sure we're tracking to be able to put in new signals.
That's good, because that budget item was $60,000 last year. And now it's $658,000.
I'd have to check that.
This is in transportation program development on page 117.
All right.
I mean, it's a good increase if it is. Because the one thing we hear most about is traffic in this town. So, anyway, not to hold up progress. But
what was your question again, sir?
I just, on page 117, under transportation program development, the third line down, new signal capital fund, mm-hmm. is $658,000 for this budget year, which yeah. looks like a really good number. And I was just wondering what, you know, where those new, or do we not know where those new signals are, or is that to have them because we know we need them?
We know where they're coming up. For instance, the signal at Center Street was funded through this fund. We know that eventually we'll probably see one at Snee Farm and 17 or a few others along. So we kind of watch volumes and warrants, and we keep that fund where we know we can fund what's coming down the line.
So it's very proactive.
Yes, sir.
Good. Thank you. I like that. James, are you good?
I am. Yes, sir. Okay. Happy to answer any questions about traffic calming.
And again, Oak Haven and National Drive, that's the feedback kind of sign?
Yes, sir. We installed a number of those in the Old Village and Old Mount Pleasant area a few years back and found that those at the entrances to neighborhoods had a good rate of reduction in speeds and are more applicable for these kind of collector roadways like Oak Haven and
National Drive. Because some of those areas don't warrant or not allowed a speed cushion or hump, right?
Yes, sir. There are specific qualifications for both of these type of traffic calming devices. And right. so on portions of both National Drive and Oak Haven, speed humps would not meet our current requirements.
Right. Yes, sir. Ms. Chapman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mm-hmm. The Wilden Street program that we heard about a couple of meetings ago, I guess. Is that anywhere in this budget that could be used?
I think we have that ability to utilize some of the funds from our CMP, such as sidewalk development, to go towards the development of those plans and eventual implementations. Also, we have a good amount of funds allocated towards contractual services that will likely pay for the design services needed for that project. And we're in discussions with Kimley Horn right now, our consultant, to develop the scope and fee for that Wilden Royal Corridor improvement project.
Okay. Yeah, the sidewalks was a big issue.
Right.
And still is, I guess.
Right.
But that's good. I just want to make sure in the event we have a recommendation that we can go forward with implementation.
We do have pots of money that we could pull that from, but I think the bigger conversation will be next year after we hopefully have a better understanding with the public interaction and the concepts and actually getting some design in is what is it going to cost, and then we talk about that within our capital improvements program.
Thank you.
Okay. We were in discussion, right? No, we moved on to five. Do we need a motion on traffic calming program?
That would be ideal.
Okay.
I'll move that we recommend full council the traffic program of traffic calming program recommendations.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Thank you very much. This moves us to item six, review of mobility impacts of Carolina Park attainable housing developments. Some of this, if y'all were here for other committees at planning, I took notes there. I'm sure we'll probably see some of the same numbers, but I'll just turn it over to Mr. Aton.
Yes, sir. So we've been in touch with the design engineer for this project, and so we put together this slide here that really highlights sort of the findings from that, but not in addition to what you'd likely heard earlier. They did run some scenarios on what is allowed to be developed here, and so from an overall trip standpoint, this is one of the lowest end from a trip generation standpoint and an average daily traffic. So as you know, there's 100 single family attached units. The morning peak period would see about 48 vehicles and 57 trips during that PM. They are currently not eligible for impact assessment requirements, and any site design issues such as turn lanes or signing, pavement marking, sidewalk, things like that would be addressed through the DRT process. So happy to answer any questions specifically about this. We'll touch base a little later on the Stockdale Road improvement, but as was mentioned earlier, that project is moving forward with design. It'll likely be an 18-month period to complete that design and then put the project out to bid, and that's anywhere between 12 and 18 months to complete the construction of that project.
So do you have the slide in the same numbers that was given to planning?
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'll give you the forms, Chapman.
No, I want Mr. Aton to explain this number or this slide, because it's all telling in terms of the traffic potentially generated by just four of the potential scenarios that could go at this site versus what the attainable housing volumes would be.
Yes, sir. So the design engineer went through these four scenarios, as Mr. Chapman mentioned. There are obviously dozens upon dozens that could have been run. These are some of the potential developments that could have occurred there that are based off of the land use and zoning and the PD. So this just goes to show you very quickly in these at least four scenarios, the amount of traffic that could potentially be generated should it develop into something different than just the townhomes that are being proposed. And so we've got a total of 720 daily trips. Again, we've touched on the base on those peak hour AM and PM trips from the townhomes. And just comparing those to these four scenarios, it's considerably less trips generated for this proposed development versus what could feasibly go into that site.
And to tread into planning's business, since this is a planned development, they would not need any vote, any change of zoning, or any permissions other than meeting design standards.
Correct.
They would no change of use, so it would not come back to us. So, for instance, if the church sold it to the charter school that was looking at it, I don't even see that on here, but I'm assuming it would be something like scenario three.
It would be a very high trip rate for a school.
Right. And I saw in the paper where they mentioned, and I don't know that they were looking at that track, but I know that they said they were looking at a 10-acre track in Mount Pleasant. I can't think of another one. But we wouldn't even have a say-so in any of those things. And I believe, Ms. Reed, you called this a downzoning?
It's more restrictive.
More restrictive than the other, because that's kind of our most generous commercial use. Right. Daycare, restaurant, fire emergency station uses 1,858 daily trips, average daily trips.
Okay. And that's for the 7.7 acres versus the 12. That's the seven. These numbers reflect 7.7 acres of development, not 12.
Okay. Got it. So if there's no questions about the traffic generator part of this, let's do talk about the improvements. So in a nutshell, it would be a traffic circle where Stockdale and Park West Boulevard meet, which is part of serves the schools over there. And we're talking about what kind of time frame?
So about another 18 months to complete design and permitting, and then 12 to 18 to construct. So with reasonably within a, you know, a 3-year period, we could have this with this up and running. And some of the things that we're investigating and are likely to come to fruition as part of this design is, in the interim, we have the ability to install a temporary traffic signal to deal with the current traffic and volumes and safety issues at the intersection while we get through design. That's something that we could expedite very quickly to accommodate the existing traffic, or should design or permitting take longer, would be in place well before the completion of the 100 townhomes.
If somebody bought it and used it for those other uses, though, we would get that kind of traffic as soon as they built that.
Yes, sir.
Regardless of our time frame on this.
Yes, sir.
So we're talking about coordinating these two. We would have no say-so in coordinating with the other uses, or am I making an assumption there?
That's correct. They'd still go through the same DRT design review team process, which would likely take them, you know, 8 months to 10 months to get through that process.
Okay. And what do we think the process for the Carolina towns is going to be?
Anybody?
I'd let the developer speak to that.
It's here. Yes. Thanks for coming.
Sure. Thank you. Tony Berry, 272 West Coleman Boulevard. Pending a positive outcome on April the 9th, we would immediately meet with staff and map out kind of a development plan of what it would take to go through the design to get us to the land development permits. Reasonably, that probably does seem to be between now and the end of the year. Hope to start construction of site work Q1 2025. Probably take 9 months till we were ready to start digging footings and going vertical. And then probably 8 months from starting, you know, footings up to having the first homes ready. So, you know, definitely, what would that be? September of next year, October, November, January, March, April, May. I mean, we're summer of 2026. Realistic, but probably leaning a little bit toward best case.
Okay. Is the plan to build all 100 at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be phased in?
Mm-hmm. Probably the first phase will be in the 36, 40-ish range. We'll start that, get those sold, and then start, you know, either a second and third phase, but at least be two phases.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Bear?
No, sir.
All right. This is not an action item. It's not something we have to vote on or anything, but it is something that will come up in deliberations next Tuesday when it's up for second reading.
Right. And I would like to add, Mr. Mayor, that while the four scenarios for traffic were given, there are a number of other potential developments that could go here based on our zoning ordinance. And I'm not going to ask Ms. Reed to read them all, but they are not the kind of development that you want next door to you, including a sewage treatment plant. So we need to keep that in mind when we're looking at this attainable housing as something better than to be there in a lot shorter period of time.
Right. Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Just was curious, as I know we're speeding up the roundabout design and construction. I'm wondering, though, if there's anything that we can do to the existing intersection of Faison and Park Avenue Boulevard. Have we looked at that signal recently? Is there anything that we could do to make that perhaps more efficient?
Yes, sir.
We
can certainly take a look at it. When we initially designed and implemented it, it did not meet the warrants for a protected permissive left turn, the green arrow for any of the left turns, but we can certainly reinvestigate that. And it's a very simple switch if it meets those warrants.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think in the morning time is, from my understanding, is sort of the peak hours there during school drop-off, and so I'm not sure if maybe during that time period it would warrant some special consideration. And then I know one other item that some folks in Carolina Park had brought up is a four-way stop at Darrell Creek and Carolina Park Boulevard. Is that something that we've looked at in the past?
Yes, sir. We've looked at that on multiple occasions and have implemented what's currently in place as a suitable safety improvement. That's those rectangular rapid flashing beacon devices on all four approaches, as well as enhanced markings for those crossings. And those are manned during at least the school period for with the crossing guard as well. So there's a lot implemented there. We do have it on our list to reinvestigate now that Carolina Park remaining phase is wrapping up. So those will kind of be the final traffic volumes. There won't be much change from that point on to see if an always stop is warranted. I will say, as part of our potential Darrell Creek realignment project, which is one of our TST recommendations, that did include probably intersection improvements to the tune of a roundabout likely at that intersection for a longer term, you know, improvement.
And I also just wanted to point out that I'm not sure that Carolina Towns is really the tipping point that's necessitating all of this work. I think it's just the overall growth within Carolina Park would probably necessitate it anyway. So I really appreciate you guys taking a close look at the situation up there, because I do know, especially during the school pick up and drop offs, that it can be a little dicey, probably to say the least.
Okay. All right. If there's no other discussion of item six, this will move us to item seven, discussion of additional pedestrian safety improvements at Lucy Beckham High School baseball field crossing right there at Whipple Road and Mathis Ferry.
Yes, sir. So this was requested to be on the agenda due to a recent incident with a pedestrian vehicle. And just to give you a history of this crossing, so it was required as part of the Lucy Beckham development, with Whipple Road being a state road. We had to wait till it was installed to do the study to implement an RRFB, which came in as part of the school's development of the baseball field and tennis complex. So those were installed back in September. They do include, in addition to the pedestrian actuated beacons, well, they do have luminaires on them. They have roadway lighting on them that's actuated at nighttime, dawn and dusk hours. They are in operation. We worked with our communications department to, since these are becoming more frequent in the town and we plan on several other expansion locations, to develop a video of how to, both from the pedestrian standpoint and from the vehicle standpoint, on how to interact with these traffic control devices, and that was pushed out. Some other things that we're looking at doing in addition to this is, so we've got the existing crossing. One slide. Yeah, I've got some animation here. And in addition to the crossing that's in place, we are looking, so we do have funds for Mount Pleasant Way, at least tied to the Mathis Ferry portion through that Safe Streets and Roads for All grant, to design and implement that section from Eagle Street down to the 17 at Vending intersection. And then we also have been approved for Greenbelt funds for the Whipple Road section, and are considering moving forward with that design through a potential other grant that will be coming out here later on in the year. And then in addition to that, we have reached out to Dominion and Berkeley Electric to begin discussions between them and the school about a more holistic roadway lighting along Whipple Road, which currently just has a couple neighborhood entrance lights, but having it be more like our other major roadways that have consistent roadway lighting. Addition with that, we have worked with CCSD staff to rework their ingress egress patterns. They were utilizing the driveway closest to Mathis Ferry, which is where this crossing is. And with the help of the SRO and our police department's traffic team, has now shifted that to the rear exit, further away from the intersection. So we're getting, you know, less conflict points with pedestrians, and then also the operations of the signal at Mathis Ferry work a little bit more smoothly. So that is in place now. And so those are some of the things that we've done, you know, prior to and post this incident that brought this to the table.
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
I'll jump in. I appreciate that shift to the back driveway. What I've noticed is driving in the afternoon through that area, the rear driveway will be gated shut, and the folks leaving, you know, sporting events or after school programs are exiting that closer of the two entrances right at the crosswalk. In fact, just last week, somebody pulled out right in front of me trying to make a left turn onto Whipple. I just think there's so much activity in that area that it's very hard to judge when you have adequate clearance and whether somebody's crossing the street. So if there's anything that they could do to really utilize that rear driveway, even after student dismissal, I think that would help a good bit. And then one more issue is LTP has a curve in their driveway right before the traffic light, and there's some sort of brush type vegetation within the buffer that sort of blocks your view of the cars coming out of LTP unless they're already stopped at the traffic light. And I'm not sure if that's a required buffer, but maybe there's something we can do to thin it out a little bit so there's a clearer view of that traffic exiting LTP. And those are just my thoughts about that intersection.
Yes, sir. We can definitely investigate that vegetation issue and work with our public service or LTP to remove or trim back, and then also coordinate with CCSD staff on other after school activities and how they secure their site and see if there's the potential to keep that back gate open as well.
What would the lighting options be? I mean, using existing infrastructure that's there, just different lighting, or are we going to be tearing up sidewalks and putting new light poles in, or what?
So there's no roadway lighting out there right now, as you would see along 17 or other corridors. So this would be new infrastructure, new roadway lighting, and it likely would not require any, you know, removal or relocation of sidewalks. We worked with Dominion on a number of projects, including a few that are underway right now, and it's a pretty painless process to work through a contract and have them design and install that roadway lighting. They are in a little bit of a backlog now as far as material acquisition, but it's a relatively quick process.
Who provides the funding?
It's a combination. We have an agreement with Dominion, a contract for them to maintain and install the lighting, and we pay per light a set fee.
It would fall on the town to fund, just like all of our other major arterial roadways. We enter into an agreement to pay for the monthly fees of maintenance and energy.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, it's just regular lighting.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Got it. It's a collector roadway.
Right.
We have not done that on collector roadways, Mathis Ferry, rifle range, those types of things. It's a double-edged sword as far as the safety and light versus what the neighborhoods can tolerate as far as additional light.
Right. So it would probably just be right here where we're looking on this aerial, on the one that's on the screen. It's probably not going to go down in effect. You can see where the neighborhoods start. It's probably not going to go that far, is it?
We could look at both options. Initially, we certainly want to highlight the area near the school and the driveways in particular to provide ample lighting through there. When you're on a roadway like this, if you do have sort of splotchy lighting, then it actually works against you from a safety standpoint because the driver is coming in and out of lit areas into darker areas. So we'd likely look at the entirety of Whipple from Long Point to Mathis Ferry to provide a consistent lighting scheme through there, because as you know, there are several driveway access points for the residential neighborhoods there. We would look likely at a lower level lighting point, sort of the acorn style that you see along Hungry Neck, not the tall cobra head styles that are along 17. That would reduce that light pollution and spillover into the neighborhoods.
Right. Okay. I don't think any of that sounds onerous or difficult. So anyway, is that it for that one?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ongoing projects, item 8, and we are running a little behind, but let's get the highlights.
I will breeze through these. So Patriots Point Gateway project, obviously under construction now. You will see the interim pavement that went in with the new pavement markings just in time for the Cooper River Bridge run. So moving forward with that, with final pavement happening in May. And so that project will be wrapped up then. And then we have Billy Swales Boulevard. We talked about the permitting issues. We did meet with DNR last week on site to walk through and touch base on some of the comments that they have. And so I think we're in a good spot with them. We're moving forward with that permitting as well as USDOT and addressing some final PS&E package comments from SCDOT. Again, with an anticipated design approval in December, so possibly going to bid here at the end of the year or first part of next year. Maritime Port District, so still working through remaining tasks, final paving, a signal conflict with an overhead power line that's caused a little delay, which will ultimately kind of domino into...
Is this the same one at Hopcall Creek?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So that'll ultimately domino effect into these other remaining task items once that signal's installed. Okay. All American Boulevard, this project went to bid. It was awarded to Gulfstream, so we'll be having meetings with them here in the next week to set a notice to proceed. Likely, they will begin as early as this month in order to kind of get ahead of schedule on and not be tied down to some of these federal requirements for some endangered species bats in their mating season. So that could be seeing clearing out there as early as a couple weeks from now. Shem Creek Bridge Bike Lanes projects. This is out on the street again for bid with bids due next week. So we have spoken with a number of contractors that showed an interest in this. And so we're feeling confident that we'll get some bids this time, which was the issue last time, no bids. And so looking to begin in summer.
Will any of that help that bad bump that's right there when you hit the bridge?
It will. It's
from
a
the
full
road to the bridge, there's a bump.
It'll be a full resurfacing of those limits from essentially Mill Street to Pelzer Shrimp Boat Lane. So it will remove said bump.
Okay.
Ongoing projects for Mount Pleasant Way. I will touch on a couple of these. The Hamlin Trail project, which is funded through South Carolina Recreational Trails Program as well as some CIP funds. And Liberty Hill Funds is under construction now. All American, as we discussed, that will have sections of Mount Pleasant Way. The Kenny Mile Project, which is really our big pilot project, is wrapping up design now. We've, again, had some meetings and conversations with the Friends of the Kenny Mile nonprofit, so that project is looking very promising and I think will help shed a good light on the program in its entirety. Park West Trail is also kind of tied to a section of the Kenny Mile project. So really in that area, you'll see those three projects working almost simultaneously, Kenny Mile, Park West, and All American. And then our Mathis Ferry sections are wrapping up their design now. And we'll be, of course, beginning these next sections of trail that are tied to those Safe Streets and Roads for All project, which in total are over 8 miles of new trail. In addition to these other smaller projects that we've been pursuing. And then Billy Swales will have obviously a section of multi-use path as well. So we'll see over the next few years a quick installation of these key spine route segments.
That's it. Okay.
And I think we had Stockdale might be the next one.
It's kind of just a rehash of what we've already talked
about. Yeah.
Okay. We've been sent all this information, but we heard the timeline and the concurrency with the possible development at Carolina Park. Okay. Any other questions on any of these? And I do have a follow-up for next month. Just remind me if you don't hear from me.
Okay.
Ask you about that one. Just it's one of these quick ones. Anything else?
Yes, sir.
All right. That concludes item 8. Item 9.